Hello, welcome back to Dive In. I'm Mark Wyatt, pastor of Deeper Life Fellowship. I'm really glad you're with us. I'm excited about what you're going to hear today. Today we are continuing our series, Word of God Speak, Christ and His Kingdom in all the Scriptures. And today we will look further at the fall of man, rebellion in the kingdom, and how that shows the unfolding plan of God from before the foundation of the world to establish His kingdom on the earth. So join us now for the continuation of this series, Word of God Speak, The Fall. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was just that. If you ate it, you would have knowledge of good and evil. Now, why is that bad? Because God never intended for us to know evil. So, I said, well, why did He put the tree there? All right, we're going to get to that in just a second. But here's what happened. Satan appealed not to Eve's rebellious side, not to her sense of adventure or independence. He appealed to her desire to be godly. Y'all listen, when we eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil today, it always produces death. If we operate out of that knowledge of good and evil, if we make decisions based on what is right and what's wrong, I know this is right, I know this is wrong, and it's not out of the life of the Holy Spirit flowing through us, usually we do that out of our desire to be godly. But we make the wrong decision because we're doing it out of knowledge of good and evil, out of rules and regulations, not out of life. Okay, now I'm not getting into that right now, but that's part of the story. Okay. He said, you will not die. And then in verse 6, then the woman saw the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. Remember, she wanted wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. All right, now, boy, there's so much in this whole story. Then, you know, God comes, God walks with them, and then they hide from Him because they're ashamed. And God draws them to a place of confession. He said, did you eat the fruit of the tree? Now, do you think He knew? Yeah. An omniscient God is not asking a question to gain information. He knew they had eaten it. So what's He doing? He's drawing them out to a place of confession so that the fellowship can be restored. You know, that's what God does with us. There's nothing that we will ever do that He doesn't know about. So when He calls you to a place of confession, it's to restore you, not to shame you. They were already in shame. Listen, their sin brought shame. God was not trying to expose them and bring them shame. God was trying to bring them healing. So anytime the Holy Spirit does that in your life, everybody, just know that God's trying to bring you to healing. He's not trying to shame you. God doesn't try to make you feel bad. If the Lord convicts you of sin, it's because He's trying to let you know that He's offering the cure. All right. So, man, there's so much in here that I can't get into right now because I want to focus on one thing, and that is how God was establishing His kingdom. Now, what we've said is God established His kingdom in creation, right? And we can go to the next slide, guys. Okay, click that slide one time. Good. Eden, y'all see that? I know it's kind of faint because the lights are too bright in here for that. But it says Eden up there. Now, in Eden, the Garden of Eden, here's what we have. In history, God was establishing His kingdom, and it looked really good. And if everything had gone on the way it was supposed to, without sin, the whole earth would have been filled with that good government of God. You know what a government is, right? It's the king or a magistrate who governs a land, a realm. In the Bible, kingdom of God speaks not only of a place where God rules, but His authority to rule. And so when we get into the kingdom, we're getting into God's authority to rule. All right, so Eden then, you got the Garden of Eden. But here's what I came to understand last night. Last night, everybody, I was still struggling. I wasn't struggling, but I was wrestling with how to explain something. There was something I couldn't quite get. And I mean, I've read this and I've studied this for weeks and weeks. But even as last night, something hadn't gelled in me. And so I called Peter Paris, which is usually what I do when I don't understand stuff. Y'all know our friend Peter who comes here and preaches for us, one of my fathers in the faith. I said, Peter, there's something I'm not getting. And so we talked back and forth about half an hour. And finally, all of a sudden, it clicked. Something just racked into focus for me. I said, oh, I've got it. Here's what I want you to understand. Because, y'all, listen, let me be real honest with you, okay? I had some questions about this. And my questions were, did God know that Adam and Eve were going to sin? And if so, how could that be? How could the Garden of Eden actually have been his kingdom on the earth. And what does that say about God? Was he setting Adam and Eve up to fail? Would he put them in there on purpose just so that they could fail? And what's all that about? What's up with that? All right, so that was basically my question. Was God setting them up to fail? Did he know beforehand they would sin? And what then? Now, here's... All right, everybody. I want to try to explain this the best I can as I began to see it last night. Then we'll look at some other scriptures. The simple answer to that is yes. Now, however, we also know, and we've said before, and I love this, that God doesn't just... It's not like he knows the future. I mean, he does, but it's not like that there's anything that God doesn't know. He produces the future. Because, see, time, everybody, is a construct for us made on earth. Godly, he is outside of time. He's above time. There really is no past, present, future with God. That's just for us, okay? He's above all that. That's part of the mystery of the kingdom. Don't try to understand it. Let's just accept that and move on. All right. Now, we can't grasp our little finite, time-constrained minds around the infinite. So, did God know Adam and Eve were going to sin? And if so, why? See, this kind of explains the tree in the garden. Why did he even make this tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why even put it there? Was he trying to tempt them? You know, all right. First of all, we need to understand this. God made people. He gave all of us a free will. We choose to love him or we choose to reject him. Because God didn't want just a bunch of robots running around the earth who are programmed to love him. Right? He wants the set. Don't you want people to be with you that want to be with you? You don't want people around you, right, that have just been paid to agree with you? Sometimes that'd be nice. But still, you don't want just people around you who are just obligated to love you, right? They're obligated to agree with you. So we want people to love us and to be with us because they genuinely love us. God's the same way. That's part of how we're in the image of God, I think, too. But God's the same way. He created us because he just wanted us to fellowship with him and love him as much as he enjoys being him. And so he wants us to love him then out of a pure heart in response to his love for us, right? Okay. So God gave them the free will. Well, what's a free will good for if there's not a choice to make? I mean, it's kind of useless if there's no opportunity to choose. I've heard people ask the question, you know, was it possible for Jesus to say no to the cross? I think so. Because if it wasn't possible to say no, where's the virtue in his having said yes? So, Adam and Eve were given a choice. You can choose to obey me and live in my, you know, you can choose me. It would be too easy to love me and to be faithful to me if there weren't a choice. It's too easy. Let's just make this real. Let's keep it real. So God was keeping it real. All right, so he said, for those of you who understand the language of our youth today. All right, so God said, I want you to love me because you want to love me. So he's got the tree. He wasn't setting them up to fail, but here's what I want you to understand, everybody. Now get this. This is what finally dawned on me last night. When God established his rule and reign on the earth in the Garden of Eden, in creation, it was good. And Adam and Eve, as representatives of mankind, were appointed to govern the earth on his behalf, to be managers of it. You follow me? Now, we could stop there and say, that's what the kingdom of God looks like. However, there was one thing wrong with that. And that was, the possibility of sin was still there. So, get this. I believe God, when he established his kingdom, his rule and reign on the earth in Eden, It was only a prototype. It was a type. It was a shadow, a foreshadowing of a kingdom that was to come. So the Garden of Eden, as wonderful as it was, as perfectly run as it was under God's governance, listen, innocence made room for sin. Now, why would God do that? I want you to follow me. See, this is part of this. I get excited about it. This is part of that unfolding revelation of the story of God, of what he had in mind. We have to understand something. The Bible talks about election and God foreordaining things and foreknowing things. And but do not get the idea that this means that God has chosen some people to go to hell and some people to go to heaven. That is an extremely immature way for us to think about election, about predestination. I mean, it really is. It's an immature way for us to think about it. That's not the mind of Christ. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees at every turn, and then he died for them on the cross. Okay, so God has chosen everybody. We've talked about it like this before as we're going through Ephesians. It's like God, you know, it's like God lined everybody, you know, y'all get on the big cosmic kickball playground, and God and Satan are choosing teams. And God says, I made them, I'll go first. Satan says, fine. And God looks at all of humanity and says, okay, I choose all of them. I choose them all. You want to be on my team? Come over here, this side of the line. Now, at that point, God has chosen everybody, but everybody now has a choice to respond to God's choosing of them. Does that make sense? All right. So, does God know who's going to choose him? Who cares? But what I'm saying is everybody has a choice. Whether God knows or not doesn't affect their choice. Because he will not, that doesn't mean, you know, if somebody rejects him, God says, I knew it! I knew you would! No, he loves it. He's chosen all of us. We have an opportunity to respond to his choosing of us. Now, here's where this really gets good. All right, did God know? I'm not going to go to it right now out of time's sake, but you can look at Ephesians 3, 10, 11. I'm talking about the fullness of time and how God set us up as the church, the mystery of the ages that was revealed before time, and that God completed this in Christ. Revelation talks about those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life who was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, how could that be? Now, in Greek, and that was written in Greek, there's no punctuation, so it's really not clear, were their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, or was he slain before the foundation of the world? The way the construct is, it's hard to tell. The general consensus is, though, he was the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Well, how can that be? Well, was God just providing an out just in case we sinned? Y'all, listen. I want to read this to you because I really want to get this right. All right. I wrote this down last night so I could get the wording right. God allowed sin to enter the world so that he could deal with it so conclusively that he could establish a kingdom so complete and ultimate that there would never again be the possibility of sin entering the world. So when God established his kingdom in the Garden of Eden, it was good, but it was incomplete, because it contained the possibility of sin. So God allowed sin to enter in so that he could deal with it conclusively on the cross of Christ and defeat it, so that he could bring a kingdom and establish a kingdom so powerful and so complete that for the rest of eternity there would never be a possibility of sin, watch, entering that kingdom. Now you've got a kingdom that is the antidote to sin. See? Sin entered the kingdom of God in creation. In the Garden of Eden, sin entered the kingdom, entered the rule and reign of God. You see? God allowed that to happen so he could wipe it out, so that he could establish a kingdom that sin would never come into again. Yeah, isn't that good? Thank you. God's good. Listen, this is why he foreknew this. He had it all planned out. Everybody listen, this was plan A. Jesus was not plan B.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you're enjoying seeing with us the unfolding revelation of the plan of God in all the scriptures. But we're going to go further. Be with us next time as we continue to look at rebellion in the kingdom and how God used even that to establish his rule and reign on earth. If you'd like to know more about Deeper Life Fellowship, then you can find us on the internet, deeperlifefellowship.com or dlfmobile.com. Again, thanks for listening today. We'll see you next time on Dive In.